Chumbachasino.com.
Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge. Well, hello. Hi, Mike Hotelling, hanging out with you here. We are continuing this Friday night party, doing it by your request, 476-1039, as we hang out and wait for the big snowstorm from hell that's supposed to hit us tonight. This is Oasis, it's Wonderwall, and it's On the Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative with Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge. Yeah, with Mike in the middle of the nonstop. We're taking care of the RPI gang up there on the hill in Troy. They called to hear the mighty KC on the Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, your $1,000 a day station. And I'm Mike, and we're congratulating Allison Brennan. She's a SUNY student taking psych over at SUNY Albany. Well, she was my 10th caller through. She heard our Edge flight announcement, and now she's in the running to go see Rusted Root New Year's Eve on our Tripping Thursday trip of the week. And Allison mentioned that she's a psych student. She said, hey, Mike, you're a healthy nut. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, your $1,000 a day station. And I'm Mike Hotelling, and that's Self with Cannon from the disc Subliminal Plastic Motives. Yeah, okay. Now, if you got a restaurant that serves wings, and you really think they're the best around, well, The Edge invites you to put them to the test at The Edge's 9th annual Wing Fest for Easter Seals. You're going to have a chance to let the people in the capital area decide if your wings are really as good as you say they are. Now, the winning restaurant or establishment gets to take home the Wing Fest trophy and, of course, all them bragging rights that go with it for the whole year. Now, for more information on how to get your establishment in the 9th annual Wing Fest, call the Easter Seals Wing Fest hotline. Get a pen, get a paper, get a piece of paper anyway. It's 1-800-727-8785. The 9th annual Wing Fest is coming this February, so call 1-800-727-8785 and keep listening to The Edge for more details.
Who's got...
WQBJ, Hopelskill, Schenectady, Saratoga. WQBK, Rensselaer, Albany, Troy.
Turn on the radio, good and loud.
The Edge.
Howdy, The Edge.
Hi, are you taking a request?
I sure am.
Can you play Glycerine Bush?
Bush.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get it on for you. Where are you calling from?
Chatham, New York.
All righty.
All right, next.
If you're listening to Bush, you're on The Edge.
Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, with Mike hanging out with you all night long. Doing a great one from Smashing Pumpkins. This is 1979, and it's on Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, with Mike hanging out with you here. Doing it by request, 476-1039, and I got a call from my friends out in Utica, and the snow is hitting them, which means it's headed our way. Well, when doesn't it snow in Utica? They only have two seasons out there. They have winter and August, but we're supposed to get 4 to 7 inches tonight, so just hang out, stay warm, and keep it on the edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, with Mike Hotelling, and we are saying, hey, congrats to Jody Keith of Albany. Yeah, she was my 10th caller through. She heard our Edge flight announcement, and now she's in the running for our Tripping Thursday trip of the week. It's Rusted Root in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, New Year's Eve. Keep in mind, you got to be 18 or older to qualify and win this trip. With Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge. Hey, The Edge.
Hi, can I put in a request for a song?
Well, you certainly can. That's what I'm here for.
Cool.
Why do you think I'm staying up here?
I don't know.
Partying all night
fun.
Long. In,
yeah.
In the big snowstorm from hell.
That must be it.
Oh, well, what can I do for you?
Can I hear Presidents of the United States?
Let's see. You want to hear some Presidents of the United States, eh? I'll see what I can do.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah,
bye. Thanks, bye.
I'm sad alone.
Is this love?
Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, where every now and then the DJ gets to play his favorite song. And this be mine. It's Green Day, it's Brain Stew, and it's On the Edge.
I'm having trouble.
Someday you will ache like I ache.
Hell, someday you can go to court like she did. Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, your $1,000 a day station. Got a call from the gang up at Siena College in Latham, or no, actually that's in Loudonville. Yeah. Well, anyway, they're up there pounding the beers, and they said, "Hey, Mike, we don't care. Just play something loud for us." All right, how about this one? L7, Let's Pretend We're Dead. Albany's rock alternative, The Edge. Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, from Brixer Heavy, L7, Pretend We're Dead for Sienna. And I'm Mike Hotailing, hanging out with you here right straight through until 10 o'clock this morning. Yeah, it's the Mike Marathon here. Anyway, 476-1039, that is the number to reach me here if you're in southern Vermont, western Massachusetts, central New York. Well, that would be area code 518-476-1039. Also, if for some silly, stupid reason you happen to be next to a fax machine, you can fax in a request here. And that number is 462-0784. The fax number again, 462-0784. Every now and then I get a bizarre fax at like 4 o'clock in the morning, so you can do that too. And also, for the finest ski report available, hey, we got the Edge Dinny Moore Beef Stew Ski Watch Ski Phone. Another important phone number to jot down, 462-0555. That's 24 hours a day for the Ski Report Ski Magazine recognizes as the only major ski reporting service not paid for by the ski areas. For the best snow and the most fun this winter, call the Dinty Moore Edge Ski Watch Ski Phone. Right, that's 462-0555.
You wake up.
Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, your $1,000 a day station. And I'm Mike Hotailing. I'm hanging out with you here all night long, doing it by request as always, 476-1039. And you got to do yourself a favor. Now, who cares if it's quarter after 2 in the morning? You got to turn this one up really loud. This is a great new song from Space Hog. This is In the Meantime, and it's On the Edge. Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, playing the new music first. This is Letters to Cleo, On the Edge. Yo, The Edge.
Hi, who's this?
This is Mike.
Mike?
Yeah,
who's Hi, it's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa, baby. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just great.
Do you remember me?
Oh, I always remember all my listeners.
No, you don't know. Remember, I'm the one that called with Aaron? Remember Lisa and Aaron?
Lisa and Aaron. Oh, of course I remember.
From Latham?
Lisa. Oh, sure.
Right.
Okay, what can I do for you?
Mike?
Yes?
Can you play Closer by Nine Inch Nails?
I can dig that up for you, honey.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
When?
As soon as I can.
Yo, Mike, you know what else?
What?
I went to the mall, and I was with Aaron, and we were looking for you because the Edge was at Crossgates, and you weren't there.
Well, that's because, I work so many shifts here on the weekend on the air that sometimes I got to, like, sleep.
Well, can you put Closer on next?
I'll try and get to it soon, hon, okay? We're checking here. Yeah, Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, your $1,000 a day station. I'm Mike Hotailing, and we're saying, hey, congrats there to Mike Littner of Albany. Yeah, you heard our Edge flight announcement. Ran to his phone, was the 10th caller through, and now he's qualified to go see Rusted Root in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. New Year's Eve. Yeah, it's our Tripping Thursday, Trip of the Week, with Albany's rock alternative, The Edge. Albany's rock alternative, The Edge. Yeah, Burning Rubber, it's Mr. Moringa from When Nature Calls, the soundtrack. And I'm Mike Hotailing. That wraps up, 15 in a row or whatever we did there. And 476-1039 is the number to reach me here. I want to say hi to the gang out there at Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Thanks for the call. We got something coming your way. Also, I mentioned earlier our fax number here. For some bizarre reason, you happen to be near a fax machine, you can fax in a request. 462-0784. And as a matter of fact, the gang over at the Albany Medical Center Lab, I've talked to these guys before. I know who they are. They sent me a fax that is sure to keep me awake the rest of the morning here. It says, hi, Mike. Thought maybe if I send a picture of myself to you, you might play a request for me. Thanks. You're a doll. And on the fax here, there's this picture of this, like, really gorgeous blonde chick, and she's naked, totally nude. I mean, obviously, they got it out of, like, Penthouse magazine or whatever. But I will say, guys, I know who you are, and, you know, if what you're doing over there at the Medical Center Lab is working on this special drug to, you know, sex change type drug, and this is what you guys really turned out to look like, then patent the damn thing, will you? Okay? Yeah, but this is going to go up on the fax wall of fame here in the Edge studio, and anytime I feel like I'm going to nod off or something, I'll just take a look at this because, man, what a good-looking chick. Anyway, thank you for the call. Thank you for the calls, actually. 476-1039. We got another 10 in a row on the way. Going to kick it off with some live for Utica.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, it's me, Lil Scal.
Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge with Mike and Hootie and Them Dare Blowfish on The Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, where we're first with the new music. This is just about a girl. It's by No Doubt on The Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, your $1,000 a day station. And I'm Mike Hotailing, and we're saying congratulations here to Anthony Smida of St. Johnsville, way out there towards Utica. He was a 10th caller through, and now he's in the running to go see Rusted Root in Pittsburgh. It's our Tripping Thursday Trip of the Week with Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge. Hey, The Edge.
Hey, who's this?
It's Mike.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, good. What's up with you?
This is Clemmy, man. I got to ask you a question.
Shoot.
Can you play Rancid?
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
We'll get to it soon, dude.
You're great.
All right.
All right, bye.
The Edge. The Edge.
Hey, The Edge.
Yeah, can you guys play I Got Id Pearl Jam?
Oh yeah, it's a great song. We got that. We got that coming up. That's off the new
EP. Hits. Yeah,
The Merkin Ball.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to it.
Thanks.
Yep. Bye. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, with Mike hanging out here till about say 10 o'clock this morning. 476-1039 is the number, and from the Tiger Lily disc, this is former 10,000 Maniac Natalie Merchant. This is Wonder, and it's on The Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, taking care of that late night gang over there at Union College in Schenectady. You wanted to hear some Candlebox. This is off Lucy on The Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, your $1,000 a day station. And I'm Mike, and make sure you listen weekdays for your chance to win $1,000 a day. That's right, during the Stern Show, Bizarro Jeff is going to announce the band of the day. When you hear a double-edged set by that band of the day later in the day, be the 10th caller through, and you'll win really big, like $1,000 with The Edge. Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge, Kurt at his very finest. Smells like teen spirit, it's Nirvana, and I'm Mike Hotailing. And if you've got a restaurant that serves wings and you think they're the best around, or say you know they're the best around, you know, you got that confidence, well, The Edge invites you to put them to the test at our 9th annual Wing Fest for Easter Seals. And you're going to have a chance to let the people in Capitaland decide if your wings are really the best in town. And a winning restaurant gets to take home the Wing Fest trophy and, of course, all the bragging rights that go with it for the whole year. For more information on how to get your establishment in the 9th annual Wing Fest, you can call the Easter Seals Wing Fest hotline. That number is 1-800-727-8785. It's the 9th annual Wing Fest coming in February, so call 1-800-727-8785. 727-8785. And keep listening for more information, for more details here at The Edge.
You're going to be a rock star.
Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, with the band that we're going to send you to go see in Pittsburgh. Yeah, Rusted Root. It's our Tripping Thursday trip of the week. Got to listen for the flight announcement. Albany's rock alternative, The Edge. Albany's rock alternative, The Edge, with Mike Hotelling, and we got Earth Speak on the way, and this morning we're going to have a little fun. We got a broadcast television Albany legend on the show this morning. Yes, Commander Ralph Vardigan will be joining us. That'll be on the way, but right now it's the Pretenders from Learning to Crawl. My City Was Gone on The Edge.
It's the radio station that Niagara Mohawk hates. 103.5 and 103.9. The Edge.
You're on The Edge. 103.5, 103.9. Albany's Rock Alternative. And Talk Radio 1300, WQBK. What we're doing is Earth Speak. It's a half hour dedicated to the environment. And I'm Mike Hotelling. I'm your host. Good morning. I have a real treat for listeners this morning, I believe. We have a broadcasting legend in the studio here, and it's not me. It's a legendary television and radio broadcast. I believe you did a lot of radio in the Albany market too, right?
I sure did for 37 years, Mike.
Okay. Yeah. If folks don't recognize that voice, let me tell you, we have Ralph Vardigan, who's a Rensselaer County legislator, on the program this morning. And folks remember Ralph through his illustrious broadcasting career here in Albany, and he's a very successful county legislator in Rensselaer County. You represent which district? North
District
Greenbush?
District 2, North Greenbush, East Greenbush, and the city of Rensselaer.
Now, I wish this was a better occasion for having you on the show, because I'm really honored to have you here.
It's a pleasure, always.
As a broadcaster myself, I mean, I looked up to you when I was a child. You know, and you are a big part of the reason why I have a 17-year broadcasting career now.
That's a compliment. Thank you.
Well, like I said, I wish this was a better reason why I had you on the show, but we are going to get to the Troy landfill and what unfolded this week in the fight. Our listeners know that I am a Troy resident, and I've been highly vocal in testifying at public hearings in front of the city council on this issue. I personally believe, as an environmentalist for many years, I have seen what raw construction and demolition debris can do to a community. Mm-hmm. And the practice of putting it on an already dangerous, unhealthy landfill is, you're playing Russian roulette.
Absolutely, because this landfill, what people must remember is that the Troy landfill is unlined. Mm-hmm. It is over an aquifer. Mm-hmm. That aquifer supplies the town of North Greenbush, and especially our immediate Meadow Drive area, with its drinking water.
Now, the situation with the dump, just for listeners' benefit, you may remember years back, I wasn't in the Albany area at the time, but this was in the 80s. The same process happened in the city of Albany. They took the old, aging city of Albany landfill, and they decided they wanted to cap it, mm-hmm. and they dumped raw construction and demolition debris on the landfill, mm-hmm. and covered it over. And what happened was, a gentleman on Frisbee Avenue in Albany went to make toast, and the spark from his toaster blew up his house from right underneath his feet. Now, the gentleman remarkably survived the explosion, but what it was the trapped gases from the landfill getting through the construction debris.
It's very common.
That caused methane,
sulfide,
hydrogen sulfide. Mm-hmm. And it's dangerous, and it's explosive, and it happened in Albany. Mm-hmm. It happened in several other communities throughout the state. I believe it happened, about 5-6 years ago. The same process happened in Binghamton. They had a major explosion there.
Right.
It's an unsafe practice. I've been fighting it. You've been fighting it. Ken Dufty from Rensselaer County EMC, State Wildlife Pathologist Ward Stone, Marianne Hart from Responsible
Judy
Development.
Enk.
Judy Enk. I mean, we're all on this bandwagon. Mm-hmm. This is a terrible idea. But, so now the listeners know where we're going with the show. But before we do, I mean, I got to have a little fun here with you, Ralph.
Sure.
When I was a child, my sister and I used to get up and make a beeline for the television set because Commander Ralph was on.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a wonderful children's television program. It was a children's news program.
Yeah.
What I wanted to go over a little bit is your illustrious broadcasting career.
Yeah.
For example, with me, I was 8 years old, and my parents bought me my first transistor radio.
Oh,
Christmas.
God, yeah.
And that's back in the era when all your rock and roll radio stations were on AM. And the AM band, if you have a powerful radio station at night, you can pick up these radio stations from all corners of the country.
Right.
So not only was I listening to the two fine rock stations here in Albany, PTR and, mm-hmm. And TRY, mm-hmm. but I was picking up these monster stations out of Chicago, WLS.
Chicago especially. And, I can recall those days.
WCFL out
sure.
of Chicago and
exactly.
CKLW out of Detroit and WGAR in Cleveland and WABC in New York. And I mean, these are like
QBK
the cream
in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Well, these were cream of the crop
sure.
radio stations.
Exactly.
And as an 8-year-old kid, that impressed me. And I was like, I got to get into this. I got to be a part of this.
Right.
So that's when I got bit by the bug. Everybody in broadcasting gets bit by the bug. When did Ralph Vardigan get bit with the bug?
It started at the time that I got out of school in New York. I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know this. I'll have to remind many of my listeners. My fellow graduates included Grace Kelly.
Okay.
Yes, and a year behind me was Anne Bancroft.
Wow.
Although at that time, she was Anne Italiano. That was her true name. So, we went through in our training of broadcasting dramatics, as you will. We didn't get so much television training because it was practically in its infancy then. It was just growing.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody had heard of Milton Berle,
mm-hmm.
of course. And
he was Uncle Milty.
He was a phenomenon at that time. Right. But after we finished dramatic school, then it was trying to find a job in something that you began to be training for. And radio happened to come along in this local market. And I began my radio career at WSNY.
Along with
Steve Fitz,
okay.
and Bob Wallace, who is quite distinctive in his own right. And from there, we sort of graduated into the second television station in the market, which happened to be WROW Television, and which ultimately became Channel 10 and Cap Cities and
ABC.
The rest there is a legend too. Yeah.
What listeners may not know or may not remember, though, is the second television station in Albany. Channel 6 was one of the first television
yes.
stations in the nation.
Yes.
But before Channel 10 was Channel 10, it was on UHF.
Yes.
And it was on Channel 41.
41, that's right.
And
at that time, the first owner of Channel 10 or UHF 41 was Harry Goldman. He's the one who you might say is the father of Channel 10. And from that grew into people like Frank Smith and Tom Murphy, who ultimately became Cap Cities.
Mm-hmm. It's a
remarkable story.
Oh, yeah, it is.
The Cinderella story of broadcasting.
I look back at old microfilm from old newspaper ads and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and it was so amazing to see the advertising during the 50s for WROW Channel 41. Here's our lineup. We are, you know, the CBS station in Albany.
Right.
And it boggles
I'll tell you,
mind.
Advertising was pretty tough to get a hold of, too, because you were competing with the giant at Channel 6.
Who was owned by General Electric.
That's right, against a UHF station that was barely, you know, had a signal going out into the to the Albany area.
Right. Now, Channel 41's tower is now WRPI.
It was the most fun that anybody could have because at the time, television was fairly new to us, and we were like pioneers, if you will. We didn't know in a great sense what we were getting into, but we developed and grew with the industry and
now,
loved it.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Commander Ralph.
Sure, sure. My favorite topic.
Well... It's it was such a unique and interesting television show for children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is back in television, to me, when television really had to try hard.
Yeah, you're going back to 1961.
Right. This is back before you had this pool of syndication, you know, of these nationally
right.
produced shows.
Mm-hmm.
So television stations like Channel 6, Channel 10, you know, Channel 13, had to produce, locally produce, game shows and kiddie shows and things
mm-hmm.
like that. I can remember the campy game show over on Channel 6 that David Allen, who
oh,
folks
sure.
who folks will remember from the Armory Garage commercials that he's doing now. But, but David Allen had this campy local game show, Pick a Show.
Yeah, and we butted heads later with Dialing for Dollars.
Dialing for Dollars, sure. Tell a little bit about Commander Ralph, the Commander Ralph show.
Well, that show was the brainchild of a citizens committee, okay, that Channel 10 had asked, you know, what can we do to help the community except, you know, Channel 10 and a new TV station. And I guess the cry was that, as it is today, ironically, there's not enough programming for children.
Mm-hmm.
So out of this Citizens Council came the thought of, why can't we do a children's news program? And it sounded good, and I was approached with the idea, what do you think? And I loved it right from the very beginning. And they said, well, we need a character to be the host of this program, and they came up with the words of Commander Ralph, if I was willing to do it. So we auditioned the program prior to actually going on the air. I put together some things. The concept seemed very good, and the original idea was to put it on for 5 minutes, 5 minutes of eight, just before Captain Kangaroo, and so we did, and the acceptance was immediate. And within a short time, they expanded it to 10 minutes, and then later to 15 minutes, and then later to 20 minutes. So we preceded Captain Kangaroo.
Well, a whole era of children, including myself and my sister, mm-hmm. We grew up to your program.
Right, you with know. Mr. Monkey, the weatherman.
Yep. And then, well, later, let's slip to a little bit later in your career.
Sure.
What was the reasoning or concept of Dialing for Dollars? I know in this day and age, mm-hmm. you know, your game shows on television are these slickly produced Wheel of Fortune type things, and television stations, you know, clearly syndicate. But this is back in an era, you know, talking about Pick a Show, for example, where local television stations made their own game shows.
Right.
Locally produced.
Right. The program was syndicated, as you indicated, but each station sort of developed its own host or hostess or hosts, as the case may be, and we came up with different innovations to more or less make the audience feel right at home. While they listened to us and watched us, we gave away money mm-hmm. if they were watching at the time. What's the count? What's the amount?
Right.
And many people were made happy. In addition to the many other prizes that we gave away.
Now, your co-host on the program was John Stewart.
John Stewart.
Now, right. John Stewart, isn't he doing the voice of Channel 23 now, the Fox
Gee,
station?
I don't know. I don't know that.
I thought him and Dick Wood, our former Channel 10 anchor, are doing a lot of the voices.
I know Dick is on 23, right. But I didn't know John Stewart was.
Yeah. Well, I thought
we talk. We're still good friends.
Well, that's good.
We're in contact with each other, especially during the holidays, and we have a lot of fun.
The other thing I wanted to comment on, you know, getting back to this, back in an era where television stations had to try hard,
mm-hmm.
What always impressed me every year was the cerebral palsy telethon that
yes.
Channel 10
mm-hmm.
Ran.
Yeah.
Now, in this day and age, it's gotten, it's a nationally syndicated thing. John Ritter's the host.
Yep.
And Channel 10 still runs the cerebral palsy telethon, but it's a lot different in this era. It's
absolutely.
A national show,
absolutely
and they do the local breakaway.
Mm-hmm.
Back in your era, in the era where I was growing up, Channel 10 produced and did the whole show.
18, 19 hours of it, yes.
On its own.
On its own. We would audition, you know, a lot of local talent, gave them the opportunity to be on television, while at the same time doing a great public service toward this marvelous cause. What I enjoyed most about that, and that I bemoan the fact that they don't have today, is the fact that, let's say, a character like Commander Ralph would, in the weeks prior to the telethon, urge the young mateys to begin thinking about soliciting from their neighbors, going with their coffee cans and milk cartons,
mm-hmm.
and collecting money. This taught them that they can help no matter what their age is, and become public servants too in their own beautiful way. Today, that is all gone.
Right.
Now it's all corporate funding, so
right.
that the human impact is missing. And I wish it was back to the way it was.
Well, what I used to love about...
Things change.
Oh, sure. But sure. What I used to love about the telethon, too, is in Albany's case, Albany would bring in some big-name stars.
Yes.
Like Lyle Wagner.
Sure.
Would come up on a regular, you know, who were some of the other national stars that came on the telethon in those days?
Eileen Woods, Jack Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You name any of the popular ABC shows that were on the air at that time, and they would usually have two or three people involved.
Ten was a CBS affiliate at the time, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah, okay, I said ABC, but right. Okay. That's a correction on my part. It was CBS. We would bring in people from CBS, and they would do their marvelous thing along with the local hosts. It was a great opportunity for us to mingle with network stars, so to speak.
And what was so great and in a way so campy about the telethon is, of course, it ran 24 hours a day.
Yes.
So a lot of times you tune in at 3:30 in the morning and you'd see the wedding polka band from Gilderland.
Yeah.
You know, and things like that. And it was a great opportunity for local artists.
Yeah.
You know, to go on and get exposure.
Each year that we did it, we grew. We kept topping the previous year by $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. Now, it boggles your mind to think they've topped the $1 million a year mark. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a credit to the people in this area who respond to them.
Sure.
I think years back, we used to say that on a per capita basis, the Channel 10 telethon for cerebral palsy was the nation's number one telethon. On a per capita basis.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah, it's a compliment.
And it does say something about Capital Region residents.
Yeah, we're good people.
Folks are very generous and
very good compassionate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is going to make a good segue into where we're going with this show.
Yeah.
Like I said on the onset, I wish
it's fun to talk about.
Well, I wish this was a better occasion to have you in on the show, but you have been highly vocal, as well as myself and other activists, on the really stupid... I can say that as this host. It is a stupid idea to reopen the City of Troy landfill with construction debris.
Absolutely.
It's a dangerous, unhealthy process. Mm-hmm. And what the deal is the City of Troy is broke. And now this has gone to a vote, City Council vote, three times.
Three times.
Three times unlucky, I call it.
Yep.
Because the first two times we got the City Council to vote this proposal down.
Right, on a 5-4. Right. Basis, right.
Now, you testified, I testified, Judy Yank from NYPERG, Ward Stone, you know, everybody who knows anything about this knows that this is wrong. It's a dangerous practice. But yet, a bankrupt city with its back against the wall is looking for that carrot dangling.
You have to attribute mismanagement from the highest levels on down for what's happened during the past 2 years. There was money set aside for the landfill, the proper capping, and it was utilized for general fund purposes. So that as we reach 1995 now, suddenly, you know, we have become the victims and we are the villains for daring to oppose the council for capping the landfill. Everybody will tell you that the use of C&D is a highly dangerous thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, despite all of our pleas and the objections that we've raised, the City Council has had a very deaf ear to our pleas. And it's reached the point now where, in order to, in a sense, put them in their place, we have to instigate a lawsuit, which will be pending.
Mm-hmm. Now, just for the listeners' benefit, I mean, this made... you know, getting back to television, I mean, all three local channels this last council meeting.
Mm-hmm. A disgrace.
Well, yeah, it was a disgrace, but all three channels covered it, and a lot of people saw what happened.
Yes, we were denied the right to speak.
Yes, the residents of North Greenbush were denied the right to speak.
Yes.
Which leads me to believe that you have a very bitter Troy City Council, because the majority of the people up at that council on that meeting were lame duck.
Yeah, it depends on how you want to look at it. You might interpret it in a very broad term as a vendetta against those people in Troy and those people in North Greenbush who have strongly opposed what they intend to do. We feel as though that we have been duped by the council and the City of Troy for the lies that they have perpetuated throughout the entire period of this landfill discussion. The landfill was never monitored. It was allowed to just literally go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where, out of our total frustration, we videotaped in a walk through the landfill. We videotaped all the violations that we saw, and we sent a videotape to EPA in Washington and EPA in New York, and we're waiting now for a report on what they have seen and what they wish to do. We have pleaded with NCON many, many times to oversee the violations. For whatever reasons that they can come up with, NCON literally has turned a deaf ear to our pleas.
NCON, and I've mentioned it on this program, NCON is a travesty.
I call them our enemy, because they have done little to monitor the Troy landfill. They have continually given the city of Troy extensions on the landfill permit and have allowed all the violations that have gone on.
Regular listeners of this program know that we've had many guests over the course of this program on talking about NCON,
mm-hmm.
and talking also about the new Pataki administration and the new Zagata commissionership mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. of NCON. NCON had its problems during the Cuomo years. Now you have a governor that, in my opinion, is catering to the New York State Business Council that helped him get elected.
Mm-hmm.
The New York State Business Council looks at NCON yeah. as the enemy.
Yeah. What NCON fails to consider from our point of view, and we have naturally a biased point of view, they fail to consider the health aspects of what we're facing. They go along with the city of Troy's proposition that we need money. And because we need money, the only way that we can take care of the landfill situation is to lease it out for construction and demolition debris. We say, no, not at the expense of our health. And that is the problem. That we're gridlock, if you will,
right.
On this subject of, is it money or is it health? We say it's our health that's at stake. The city says, no, the financial future of the city is at stake.
I just want to backtrack a little bit. I had Ken Dufty from Rensselaer County
yes.
Environmental Management Council on the program when this whole thing first started coming about, when the word got out that Troy's proposal was construction debris, and mm-hmm. Ken made a beeline for this mm-hmm. radio show, and we exposed it for what it is.
Yeah.
NCON, speaking of NCON, put out a list. Actually, one of the organizations I'm involved with, Citizens Environmental Coalition,
mm-hmm. I'm aware of it.
Pushed NCON to do what's known as a hazardous substance study.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We went down and lobbied hard in the state legislature. We got a 52-0 vote in the Senate for this hazardous substance study. And what NCON did was they went out and they checked sites throughout the state. Now, residents that live near that site could nominate the site to have NCON come in and test it.
Right.
Now, NCON tested 600 sites. Now, you have to keep in mind, this is an NCON that's getting rolled back by the Pataki administration. They're firing lawyers. They're firing good staff people. They tried to cut Ward Stone's wildlife pathology unit. Boy, that was a big mistake. You know, there's a serious rollback in NCON. So out of these 600 sites, they had to whittle it down to about 200 that would actually make the report.
Right.
The city of Troy's landfill is one of those final,
one of, that's right.
final 200,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which says something very clearly, that even a strapped NCON is admitting to the community that this is one of the 200 worst sites as it exists now
yeah.
in the state of New York.
Well, figure this out, Mike. Back in March of 93, the NCON regional director, Tony Adamczyk, had indicated publicly that the Troy landfill is dangerous to remain open much longer. Almost within a couple of weeks later, NCON gives an 8-month extension
mm-hmm.
from March to November to continue the landfill operations. Now, what kind of reasoning is that? It's outrageous, mm-hmm. and it's an insult. It's an insult to the people of Troy and the Meadow Drive area of North Greenbush, whose drinking water comes from wells from an online landfill.
Yep. See, that's what the listeners have to understand, is that the residents involved here that live around the landfill do not get municipal water.
The Troy side does. The North Greenbush side doesn't.
And time and time again on this radio program, we've talked about the out-of-sight, out-of-mind NCON policy.
Mm-hmm.
To NCON, pollution is a lake, dead fish floating on a lake or river or, you know, things that you can see. The good majority of New York State's water is underground. The good majority of New York State's drinking water is underground. By the Troy landfill is an underground aquifer that serves North Greenbush residents. People have wells.
Mm-hmm.
You have an already, what NCON has admitted as one of the 200 worst sites in the state, sitting on top of their drinking water. Now, hence, you have the dangerous practice of taking raw construction debris and putting it on the landfill, which causes explosions.
Before they even call for tests of your wells.
Right.
You see, it's outrageous as to how NCON operates. And we have made residents on both sides, Troy and North Greenbush, have made repeated calls to NCON over the many violations. The foul odors this summer during the sweltering heat wave was really something that would have knocked you out on a daily basis. Overpowering odors. And when we would call NCON, we would get the only responses, well, we'll look into it. And the next day, and the next day, and the following week, and the following month, the same odors, the same problems exist. Where is NCON? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're killing us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that's, and it's unfortunate, but once again, it's the Pataki administration. It's the new NCON.
Yeah.
It's the business-friendly NCON. It's the...
They're taking the wrong approach to this entire situation. If you cannot satisfy, if you cannot satisfy any municipality, then obviously you are not doing, you're doing something wrong. And NCON should look at itself, and I wish Commissioner Zapata would take a close look at what his department is capable of doing, what they are closing their eyes to, because it's only going to come back to haunt them, as the Troy landfill is coming back to haunt the city fathers.
Now, we got about 5 minutes left here, so let's get to some important issues. Okay, the city council meeting went, city council voted 5-3 for the proposal of putting construction debris in the landfill. I have a feeling that it was a way to slap...
And it was these five people, Mike, the five council people who voted, who decided that North Greenbush residents were not allowed to speak.
Right. And it was a slap in residents' faces.
Mm-hmm. Insult.
To me, you were seeing a bunch of lame ducks up there on the city council. They all lost their jobs. They're out in January. So this was like their final slap in everyone's face, you know, over the landfill issue. And so where do we go now? Okay, we've got Energy Answers coming in. Mm-hmm. They're bidding $2.8 million, which makes no sense. The numbers just don't make sense.
Well, we are challenging the contract. They already know that. We are challenging the contract. We are going to challenge the permits, the attorneys that the town of North Greenbush has hired and also representing us. Are looking way beyond the issues that are being made public. There's a lot more to the story that I'm not ready to comment on just yet. The city will find out within the coming weeks exactly where we're taking them.
Now, listeners, just for your benefit, these are the Energy Answers folks that ran the Answers Incinerator in Albany, and we all know what happened there.
Yeah, what we are saying, Mike, is that we don't need an Energy Answers, really. It has been said to the city council at meeting after meeting after meeting that there are huge deposits of clay at the RPI Tech Park that they are willing to give to us without charge. The I-90 Route 4 connector, there are huge deposits of clean fill that are waiting to be hauled to the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reasons that the city council feels, they don't wish to entertain the idea that all they have to do is truck it to the landfill and give us a clean fill, a clean closure. The city of Troy doesn't want to pay anything to close the landfill. They want to be paid to close it, and it's wrong. It is wrong. 26 years of tipping fees. Where did this money go? Mm-hmm. Why are you making us the victims? And why, to the general public, especially to the citizens of Troy, do you make us feel as though we're the villains, we're the ones responsible for Troy's financial mess? They are the ones who have created their own dilemma and are crawling all over each other, finger-pointing, it wasn't us, it was them.
Well, Ralph, we only have a couple of minutes here, mm-hmm. but left to the show. So basically what we're looking at now is the city council voted for the mm-hmm. the reopening and the construction debris.
Right. And it's going to be challenged.
So now it's in the legal system.
That's right.
It's a legal battle. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you want to get into on the legal battle or...
Well, we even questioned other aspects of the Troy story. They have are considering leasing some of their properties. They have to do that, from what I understand, by a three-quarters majority of the council. So the votes that they have taken are now, in our opinion, an illegal vote.
Now, in our last minute here, I wanted to give you the floor because you'd mentioned to me you wanted to take a swipe at one of our personalities here.
Yes, I do, because I think he has insulted not only the Troy group, but the North Greenbush group. Paul Vandenberg, whom I do respect, I've been on his show, but I've heard him say on several occasions that he called us environmental wackos who are opposed to the landfill being capped in the manner we want. I say that's an insult to us, Paul, and I think you owe us an apology. We are not wackos. We are concerned about our health, and if you lived in the very same area where we live, you would be just as strong in your determination to oppose the city council.
Okay, we'll take that, Paul.
Well said.
Anyway, thank you for coming in this morning, Ralph.
My pleasure.
This half hour just flew by, but we have to get out of here, but... Once again, you're more than welcome to come back anytime and speak your piece on Earth Speak mm-hmm. on this issue.
Because I'll pick up on that.
I am in your corner on this one.
Okay, I know you are.
Thank you. And that's it for another Earth Speak here on The Edge, 103.5, 103.9, Albany's Rock Alternative and Talk Radio 1300 WQBK. We'll be back next week with another Earth Speak.
WQBJ, Cobalt Skills, Schenectady, Saratoga. WQBK, Rensselaer, Albany, Troy.
Those of us with the right kind of radios, you know what I mean?
Albany's Rock Alternative, The Edge.
Checks.com.